Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 22nd day of April, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is We Are at War. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumhre am bith. Callers are welcome. Please keep it short and allow others to participate. Don't walk on one another. Also, might be mindful of your language, reminding you that we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody joining us will be muted until such time as you indicate you have something you wish to talk about, and I will unmute you at that time. To do that by phone, you hit star 6. To do it on a computer, you would press or click on the icon that says Ask Question. Our website is www.PastorDan, that's all together with no spaces, PastorDan.net. Put a lot of information up there, the call schedules, archives, news items, references for learning the identity message. Also, things up there about weaponry and ammunition for home defense. And if you're part of the militia, which that's becoming more and more important, that the Second Amendment and the reason for a militia. We have tyrants in government today. We don't have representatives. I hope people understand that. You've lost that. You lost that decades ago, but people were too busy having a gay old time while your public servants were planning the overthrow of your country, along with their communist, Zionist, Talmudist co-conspirators. Okay? They're whores. They're prostitutes. They sold you out just like your pastors sold you out to the slaughter for a piece of the pie and a promise that they won't be let off to the camps. And communists, the Jews, always tell their useful idiots that they'll be merciful. Of course, some of the first people that they have lined up against the wall and shot or taken to the camp are the very useful idiots in uniform that are doing their bidding. I've seen video after video of so-called law enforcement or police officers, and now military, but mostly the police officers enforcing governor's edicts as if they're a king, as if they're a ruling dictator. They forget where we're at. This is the United States of America. I don't care what pieces of paper these tyrants in the dark have done. It's still tyranny. And what they're doing is against God's law and against the common law. The common law is common because it's biblically based. It's common to mankind. It's common to all of us. You can't abrogate it, okay? Under any kind of a ruse or a political shenanigan, doesn't matter. His law stands the test of time. You cannot abrogate it, okay? These people are imposters. They're nothing more than communist aiders and abettors helping the overthrow of this world, actually. So men and women in uniform, I've said it for many years now. Folks that have listened to this program know that. How many years now have I been telling people that are in uniform, you have a tough decision to make? Well, guess what? That day's here now. All based on a fake, phony, fear porn medical emergency. There is no medical emergency. Besides, even if there was the threat of a epidemic, which there isn't, but even if there was, they do not have the authority to do what they're doing. They cannot abrogate our God-given rights. Okay, you have to remember something. The Constitution was written for your public servants. It wasn't written for you and me. So the first time you go up there and say, I want my rights honored or whatever, you have to understand, you should say my constitutionally guaranteed rights. Okay, the Constitution was a contract with the public servant. Let me also point out the fact that any public servant who says, I'm here because the governor or the feds or the mayor has written something in an order, they have just announced the fact that they are a traitor to this country and that they're operating under the color of law, which means that they are a criminal. Make that very, very clear, okay? Because this word is getting out to a lot of people. Praise Yahweh for that. But let me make that very clear. Any person in uniform trying to take away your God-given rights and enforce an edict coming from a tyrant who has overstepped their bounds of authority, that person in uniform has identified themselves as a criminal. They have no standing before a common law jury. They have no standing before a militia. They have no standing in front of a judge, a constitutional judge. Let's put it that way. Not a corrupt judge, but a verifiable judge of proper jurisdiction operating under the correct clauses of the Constitution. They would have no standing. The Supreme Court of the United States has sites in the past where they've told people in uniform that you are on your own. When you step outside the bounds of the oath of office that you took to uphold the Constitution, even if your commanding officer or a unelected or elected official tries to get you to do it, you people in uniform need to understand you are a criminal. You're not doing your duty. You are nothing more than a hired thug trying to enforce a communist takeover of this country under the guise of a medical emergency. You see, this fake pandemic is to get you to feel good about your medical martial law. You see how that works? It's all psychological. These people are psychopaths. Okay? Why do you think Jews were the leaders and inventors of psychology and psychiatry? Why do you think that is? Well, first of all, they get a bunch of ignoramuses to come in and sit on the couch and spill their guts. Well, you just gave them all kinds of information. Just like when you go down for a DNA test. Are you kidding me? You just handed over your information. When you let them put that swab up your nose for a COVID test, you just handed them your information. So the Jews love the whole idea of psychiatry and psychology because it's a pseudoscience. It's not real science. And they have control over it because you people are so weak-minded that you think they're smarter than you are. You think because they have a degree hanging on the wall that somehow they're able to solve your life's problems better than Messiah can, or obeying our Heavenly Father can, or working together as brothers and sisters under Yahweh's covenant. It's pathetic. That's where we have. We are at war right now. Your governments at the federal and state level and at the local county level have identified themselves as your enemy. They're no longer your friend. If they're enforcing any of these edicts coming from these unelected pieces of shit like Fauci and Wick or Burks and the rest of these morons, they are identifying themselves as communist insurgents, and they're doing the work of the communists. They're no different than the white Russians that fell in with the Bolsheviks in Russia to go round up the innocent men, women, and children who were Christian and put them to death and drag them off to be mass buried in graves by the tens of millions. If you don't know that history, shame on you, folks, because it's coming at you. It's in your face. It's here at the doorstep right now. What they did to the Russian men, women, and children, white Christian men, women, and children, because you're the target. No different than our cousins in Russia 100 years ago. You're the target. It's here right now. So all the generals, all the colonels, All the admirals that have been warning us for decades that the communists never went away, they're operating right here in your land. And you laughed at us. You scoffed at us. You went on with the big party while they were working like termites to eat away at your Christian society. And now it's here in your face. It's in your face. This is a war. Men and women in uniform, I told you, I feel sorry for you because you got a tough decision to make because you're being told that you're special. Notice how in many of these videos, you don't see the cops social distancing. You don't see the cops wearing masks many times. Now that it's coming out on videos, I'm sure a lot of them are being told that they got to do it for the stage presence. But up till now, you haven't seen any of them concerned about it. Why? Because there is no concern. I told you, I went through the Florida checkpoint, me and some of my family, a week and a half ago. It was a joke, folks. This whole thing is a joke if you take the blinders off. Fear. Fear, once again, is the reason and the power behind what Satan and his kids are doing to us. And where does fear come from? Fear comes from a lack of faith. I now understand why Messiah said, "Will I find faith upon the earth when I return?" Where's the faith? It's gone. We got a nation of pussies running around. Please, somebody solve my problems for me. It's your responsibility to feed me. It's your responsibility to keep me safe. It's your responsibility to invent things that you can stick in my arm and protect me. Even though statistically they don't work. And we have plenty of reports from non-industry sources that say they're actually dangerous. But we don't want, oh no, don't tell me that. You're like the people that I've been trying to preach natural health to for years and years, but you know what the attitude is? Well, Dan, I want to be able to eat whatever the hell I want to eat. And I'll just go to my God, the doctor, and he'll give me a little pill, and it'll make it go away. And you're sitting there telling me I can't eat my bacon and my pork and my shark and my shellfish. Dan, you're just a big party pooper, Dan. It's enough to make you ill. Our people want their ears tickled so bad. You want to be told it's okay to be whatever piece of shit you are. And excuse my language, but I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off at a race of people that act like such puny little ants on this earth when you were put here to keep the garden. You were here to maintain law and order. You're the ones that have the common sense, or at least you're supposed to. And we're sitting around biting our nails, wondering when the tyrants are going to let us have our society back. Screw the tyrants! That should be the response of real men, warriors. We don't owe our existence and our life to these assholes. They're our public servants, for crying out loud. Oh, that's right. You watch television. You don't know anything about that because your idiots on the boob tube didn't tell you anything about it. You're too busy watching all the bare flesh on the females and the jiggling around and these morons on CNN and MSNBC, all these talking head morons who are paid millions of dollars to try to look intelligent, but as soon as they open their mouth, they're complete morons. Only the brain dead could take anything they say seriously. Only a complete moron could take anything coming out of these people's mouths seriously. And that includes Washington, D.C. That includes, I hate to say it, many of the people in uniform from the Pentagon. How can you take anything they say seriously when they're sitting on their ass while this is going on? That means they're in on it, folks. If the admirals, generals, colonels, lieutenant generals, et cetera, if they're up there on that stage going along with this and they haven't called the provost marshal and marched in there with militia and put these people under arrest, they have the right to do that, by the way. Yeah, the Joint Chiefs of Staff have the right to go in and arrest our government. The military men have the right to do that. They haven't done it. So that means they're complicit. They're complicit in it. There are no white hats coming to the rescue. We're on our own, which is exactly what our father wants anyway. He wants to see who of his sons and daughters have enough guts to take a stand, no matter what it costs. What's the scripture say? We're to resist evil with our heart, whole body, and soul, right? With all of our heart, body, and soul. What does that mean? Even unto death. Because this life is going to end one day anyway, folks. You can't prolong it. So what he's saying is, and where's the scripture also says what? He who would save his life will lose it. Okay, does it mean that you're supposed to go out and be a martyr? I got news for you. Yahweh doesn't need martyrs. What he needs is warriors. Because we sorely have a lack of them today. And don't look to the men and women in uniform at the top levels, because they're political hacks today. They've been bought and paid for. You see, while you were sitting here worried about paying your goddamn income tax and all the other fees and everything that these tyrants have been doing, they've been taking your own money to set this all up. They've been buying off your politicians. They've been buying off your media. They've been buying off your leaders in the military. They've been buying off the state police. They've been buying off your local police. They've been buying off your sheriffs with your tax dollars, because they know men without convictions can be bought with very little money. Doesn't take a lot. So while you're busy making fun of the prophets that have been sent to you, while you're busy having a gay old time in America, the termites were at work destroying it, setting the stage. Why do you think they make all these millions and millions of rules and regulations? Because that's what Talmudists do. The Zionists do it. Look at the days of Christ. Look at that fake and phony trial that they put Messiah through. Okay, they do it all the time. Look at Alan Dershowitz, dirtbag Dershowitz and his kind. Who are most of the students at Harvard and Yale Law School? Huh? Over half, I think, are all kikes. Why do you think they get into the legal profession? Why do you think they become lawyers and judges? It's not just so they can get into politics. It's so they can control the law. Because you people have been brainwashed to think that whatever they put on paper, you have to obey. Because your prostitutes behind the pulpits have been telling you to obey them. They're whores. They're despicable whores. The prophets say the day will come when their own parents will help hunt them down. I pray that I live to see that, because they deserve it. They deserve to be hunted down, these prostitutes. Pandering themselves as ministers of God. Really? What God? Lucifer? They sure as hell don't represent the God of the Bible. They sure as hell don't represent the God that I know. He stands for justice and truth. These people are whores. These televangelists, they're all whores. People send them lots and lots of money, though, and people spend a lot of their time sitting in front of that idiot box thinking that they're hearing the true words of the Father through these whores. La, 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 life goes on. Yeah, everything's fine, Dan. Dan, why do you say those things? Come on, Dan. Just have a good time. Stop being so damn paranoid, will you? Well, what are we facing right now, folks? You got your Jews in the media, all these stinking Zionist, Talmudic, devil-worshipping Jews telling you what's in store. We can't have life go back to normal until we have everybody tested or vaccinated, so it could be 18 months or more. Well, you can establish a new world order in less than 18 months. But they're giving themselves a little bit of wiggle room there in case it takes longer. So you people just go ahead and stay in your houses and don't get in any kind of groups. Don't figure out how to be a militia. Don't figure out how to have a community farm or anything. No, no, no. You just stay there while your communist overlords figure out the rest of this. And all you men and women in uniform that are helping them, I hope you burn in hell. I really do. whatever form Yahweh makes hell, I don't care what it is, whether it's a stinking pit where your diseased carcass is thrown or if it actually is a burning hell, doesn't matter to me, as long as it's painful and tormenting. Because that's what you are to us. You took an oath of office, you don't give a damn about that. You don't care about justice. You don't care about sanity. I mean, cop after cop, well, I don't like what I'm doing, but I'm told to do it. Really? Really? How does that work? Well, I'm just... Okay, so when they give the order to come in and shoot us, what are you going to do, cops? When you get the order to come in there because they won't wear masks and they won't get the injection, they're part of the problem, so take them out. Like the president of the Philippines has said he'll shoot people that disobey his orders. He's a tyrant. He should be taken out. He should be hung in a tree. Good men should rise up and get ropes and hang his ass in a tree. That's what he deserves. And that's actually what a lot of these politicians and pundits and political figures in this country need, is a bunch of men with ropes, track them down and put them in trees. That's what they deserve. They're aiding and abetting a communist insurgency. How much more tyrannical does it need to get? How much more of a threat to your life and your family does it have to get before you understand what's happening here? These people aren't our friends. They're not doing their jobs. They've already sold their soul to the devil. They're implementing the communist takeover, just as General Ben Parton told me in person, just as General... George S. Patton tried to tell us before the Jews murdered him in that hospital in France. Please take note that General Patton was in a hospital. You think you can go into a hospital and lower your guard? Are you kidding me? It's like this Cuban lady I know. She's a Castellano Cuban. That means a white Cuban. And she told me about the old tradition in the family that she came from. And I've seen pictures of her family, and they were definitely Spanish Castellanos. And she said their tradition is that when somebody goes to the hospital, a member of the family never leaves their side. Not for 1 minute. Just because they're in a hospital doesn't mean that you're safe, people. I spent 30 days straight with my son many years ago in the hospital. Turns out we'd got a layoff, and I had the time, so he was in the hospital in an emergency condition, so apparently Yahweh wanted me to see what I saw. 30 days, I lived in the same room as my son. So I got to see how they operated. And thank God I was there, because he would have died if I hadn't been there to track the nurses down to let him know that his feeding tube had run out because the nurse put the wrong setting into the feeding tube. He went into diabetic shock. So even with him going into diabetic shock and his father telling him that there was an emergency, it took an hour to get a bag of sugar water up there to get his blood sugar up beyond the point of a coma. And again, I'm not trying to denigrate anybody here, and most of the nurses there and I got along fabulously well, because they didn't like the surgeon in charge anyway. He was a pompous ass. Pompous ass. I don't know what else we can talk about. For 20 years we've been talking about this. I've told everybody to have a 3-month supply. How many times have we said that on this show? 3-month supply of whatever you need. Do you think it might come in handy right now? Do you think? A lot of you people, especially you folks in the city, you're standing out there like cattle in these long lines, praying that your God, the government, will supply you with some food, because you don't have shit in your house. You don't have anything in your pantry. because you thought it would never go away. You thought this day would never get here. So it was always fun to make fun of us guys trying to warn you. And for the folks that are just coming in, the start time tonight was 7:30. I had that on the schedule. So I'm trying to get everybody used to going to my website, PastorDan.net, and check the schedule at least once or twice a day. It only takes a few seconds, a few clicks on your mouse, because things are changing almost daily. I almost didn't do a program today because I'm not feeling all that good. I was out in the hot sun working outside all day today, and I'm not a young spring chicken anymore. But I felt it was too important to come on and talk about some of the things I'm hearing and seeing, and it's just unbelievable. The good news is there is an underground groundswell of people that are pissed off, but are they pissed off for the right reason? Or are they just pissed off people because their God government isn't giving them everything they want? Or they want their God to loosen up their tight reins on them? Okay, so they haven't seen the problem yet. Okay, the problem is that you're acting as if these people actually have authority over you, rather than the God of heaven and earth. You see the difference? It's a mindset. It's a mental illness. You think man-made government is the answer. You see, many years ago, some of us were trying to warn you of the dangerous trend. And it all started in earnest in 1974, when these pieces of dog meat called politicians got together at the behest of their Zionist overlords and said that we're going to start calling babies fetuses, because in the Talmud, a baby is just a hunk of flesh, just a bunch of cells together in the mother's womb, and it's not a person until it's born. Of course, now the Talmudists don't even think it's worthy of being saved after it's born. But that's because it's non-Jewish, okay? So non-Jews are considered just like animals. So killing a baby after it's born, to them it's okay because it's an animal. It's no different than taking a little heifer from its mother out there and cutting it up into veal cutlets. That's why I don't eat veal cutlets anymore. The Bible says that a calf is not to be taken from its mother like that. How many of you eat veal cutlets? Did you know you're violating God's law? The farmer is violating God's law? You see, people don't give a shit about God's law anymore. That's the problem. Really, if you boil it down to what's happening in this country, it's the fact that his law no longer matters to our people. Because it's all in the book, and if you had real preachers instead of these prostitutes and whores, you would know some of these things. But they don't teach it to you because you don't give a damn about the truth. You really don't give a damn. That's what's wrong in this whole damn country. The truth is there. It's not that hard to find it. But you just don't care. As long as the paycheck keeps coming in, as long as the beer in the refrigerator is cold, and as long as I can watch the Negro Football League on television, hey, I'm good to go. Why do I need to care about truth? Why do I care about God? I don't need a God. I've got my entertainment. I've got my image of the beast. I've got government doing all these things for me. Yeah, all these things, including making plans to turn you into a slave. I want to remind all of the people, the public servants and the people in uniform that are working for these communists, I want to remind you that these communists got together and put up a thing called the Georgia Guidestones. Now, do you think they went to all that trouble and paid all that money to have those Guidestones put up there for nothing? Now, on those Guidestones, and other documents also say this, especially United Nations, which is another communist organization, Jewish run, they've said that they want a world population below 500 million. Now, I know you public school educated people don't know your ass from a hole in the ground when it comes to mathematics. I know that, okay? That's like 98% of the people in this country. But let me give you just a little idea of a population on Earth. At least that's what we're told. There's no way to verify it. But we're told we've got about 7.5 billion, that's with a B, so that's 7,500 million, okay? Got that figure in your head? 7,500 million people. And they want to get down to 500,000, okay? 500 million out of 7,000 million. So what does the ratio come out to be? About 15 to 1. So that means as you look around, and this includes your friends, your family, your children, loved ones, coworkers, take a look at 15 people. Just pick out at random 15 people around you. That means one will be left. 14 of the 15 will be gone. Now, you people in uniform, I got somebody trying to figure out how to call in here. You people in uniform have to understand something. I'm sending them a text, so just bear with me. Unbelievable. Of the 15 people that are there and the 14 that disappear, how many of them do you think will be you, your loved ones, and your fellow coworkers, other people in uniform? Do you think they're going to keep you around? Again, you don't know your history, okay? I guess you went to some sort of training to be a police officer, but that training obviously didn't improve your IQ. And I'm sure it didn't include any world history, because even the schools don't teach that anymore, not the real world history. You have to go out on your own and find works like Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the people that actually lived through the Holodomor of the murdering of tens of millions of Ukrainians and the further murdering of tens of millions of Russians, the white Russians, by the Red Terror. Okay, you actually have to read some books. You have to do so. You guys in uniform. I know you don't know that. You don't know that. And first of all, if you did know that, they would try to find a way to get rid of you, just like they got rid of the admirals and generals at the Pentagon, who actually are loyal to the Constitution and the American people. That started with the Bushes, actually before them, but certainly with the Bushes, the Clintons, and really went off in the Obama regime era. Okay, again, you guys were having fun while your tyrants, your communists, were getting rid of the loyal people. So what gets me is, where's all the white hats that we're supposed to hear about? Why wasn't the alarm being raised? Maybe they didn't raise it because nobody would have cared anyway. Maybe that's the problem. You think? Maybe that's why. They don't think anybody cares. Maybe they don't care. Maybe this is the end of the white race. Maybe this is the end of our republic. Maybe these people from the pits of hell called Jews will actually succeed in taking over the world, as they pointed out in their protocols of the learned elders of Zion. They have not hidden it. Yahweh says that they must make it known before they do it. They can't do it in total secrecy. However, they are allowed to be deceptive. They are allowed to hide their intentions in cloaking it, but they have to say it. They have to put it in such a way that if you're smart enough, if you've got the Holy Spirit guiding you, you could figure it out. I give credit to the Father and the Holy Spirit for everything I've learned. Because I was guided, like when I was doing word studies, just like when I studied Greek and Hebrew, and I found pharmakia is drugs used in sorcery and black magic, and it didn't take a whole lot of brain work to put together that pharmakeia is where we get the word pharmacy from. And then he gave me a double witness. My daughter worked at a pharmacy, and the guy that ran the pharmacy hated the drugs that he sold in the pharmacy. He said, they're terrible for you. Now, this is the guy that owns the pharmacy told my daughter. He said, I wouldn't put anything in this store in my family's body. You see the hypocrisy? Just like Dr. Oz is telling you to get an injection, his family doesn't get one. Bill Gates wants you to get an injection, he and his family don't get them. Donald Trump wants 5G, but there's no 5G at Mar-a-Lago. Okay? Hypocrisy, folks. Hypocrisy. They want to make sure you don't have any weapons, but they're surrounded by armed people all the time, doing their dirty work for them. You see how, again, Christ said what? Beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware the leavening process of the Jew, which is what? To tear things down with gradualism. How did we get to this point? Over decades. Gradualism. Tearing it away. But you didn't have any watchmen. You didn't have anybody sounding the alarm because you were going to those mainstream whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones called churches, listening to that syrupy sweet message. And you enjoyed it. Especially you ladies. Oh, you enjoyed it. Telling us men that we should behave more civil. Don't get into fights and don't curse. Don't have lewd thoughts. Oh, you bad, bad boys. You didn't want warriors for men. You wanted cucks for men. You wanted little soy boys that would go walk off to church with you and sit there and listen to that syrupy, sweet nonsense being spewed out as if the word of God was being taught to you. Our Messiah was a man. He was so much of a man, he actually chased out the Jews from the temple. The money changers is what the Bible calls them, but they were Jews. He actually chased them out with a whip he made up of a cord of material that he found laying there. He made a whip and chased them out. You can't be no cuck and little soy boy and do that. He was a carpenter's son. Carpenters, that was tough work in those days, folks. So this whole image that the modern-day church world wants of this little hippie, this little frail and glassy-eyed hippie that just loves everybody, I just want everybody to get along. Come on, folks. How do we do that? Right, hold on a minute. I guess. Okay, I just... I send out all the information and never mind. I'm tired. I'm sore. I'm sunburnt. I'm pissed off. And I'm a bit frustrated. Because this has been going on for decades for me. And I've been watching it. Every day I have to console myself that this is my lot. That I promised the Father I would do. And it gets tougher by the day because I've been saying this is where we're headed for so long, and now it's here. There's no good feeling about that. There's nothing to be feeling good about. Okay, so I was right, but what good did it do? What good did it do? I'm reading some notes that were sent in here. Hold on a minute. Ralph is saying something. Thanks, Ralph. I don't know if it's a rant or I'm on a roll or what, but it's just mind-boggling the power that we have as his sons and daughters, and we're not doing a damn thing with it. I just don't know. Ralph says here, I think you were off the air in 2006. Well, I've got shows from 2006. I do know I had a hiatus there when I was leaving Michigan and coming to Florida. So there was a period of time that took me to get set up and whatnot, but I don't think it was for a whole year. I know I have archived shows for all the years in between, so I've been in a lot of different stations. That's true. So true, our people are treated like animals. Well, yeah, because the Jew considers us all slaves, okay? Slaves here for the bidding and for the purpose of the Jew. That's why they're into pedophilia. That's why they're into the sex slave trade. That's why they're into pornography and prostitution of our women, okay? We're just dumb animals. Just dumb animals here for their use and abuse. That's why we're called human resources now. Where do you think that came from, folks? Where do you think that came from? Feminist communism's bet their husbands money and used it for consumerism. Masculine communism lends their children to help the overall civilization. Ralph says here, for me, what Dan is talking about is 15 years. Yeah, it's been a long time, Ralph. Oh, that's right, when I was looking after my son. Yeah, that's true. That was about 2006. Yep, I was a month in the hospital. Obviously, no shows then. I've been through a lot of things as a father put me through. And now that I've reached this point in my life, I can see why he did it. It opened my eyes to a lot of things. A lot of things. People say you should write a book. There's no way I could put everything I've been through in a book. No way. First of all, nobody would read it. It'd be too long, and nobody would believe it. And I think in lieu of a book, he's allowed me to do these broadcasts where I can share my life's experiences and the things I'm learning as I learned them. I send out a note on how to log in. Some people are apparently having trouble logging in tonight. You don't have to become a member to listen to the show, so I'm not sure. I don't go through that process, so. But I've talked to the people that do it. You can log in as an anonymous listener. You don't have to become a member. At least I don't think you do. Oh, Ralph says, when you're in hell, you keep on going. Amen. Oh, I never say die, never say surrender. I'm not saying it's time to surrender. Don't get me wrong. Until I take my last breath, I don't have no plans of surrendering. I believe I was put here to destroy this beast. How in the hell that's going to happen at this point, I really don't know, because what little we had, we're losing, okay? We never did have much of money. We never had a big army. All we had is our Father and His truth. That's it. Somehow, we're going to win, and I guess that's how this victory is going to be so amazing, is Father's going to cause us to be victorious when everything we see says that we should be ground up as fodder, that we should be trampled by the Antichrist. Everything we see around us says that. And yet we win. And I don't think he means that we just go with him on the other side, because that's going to happen anyway. I think he wants us to be victorious here. I think he wants his kingdom to be established here. I think he wants to sit on a throne here. That's how I read it. I made it my life's ambition to destroy these people and destroy them with truth. Every truth that we tell, every interview we did with somebody that had a story to tell about what these creatures were up to was like a bullet being fired at them. It was like another cut from a saber coming down across that beast. And hopefully after enough cuts, it'll bleed out and die because it needs to go away. This poor earth cannot tolerate these people walking amongst us. It can't. As John Mark says in Kurt Doolittle with their proprietarianism videos, there is no coexistence with these people. They are downright satanic evil. There is no coexistence, folks, so get that out of your head. So the world as we knew it is not going to continue, because the world as we knew it was the communists allowing you just enough freedom to keep you pacified. Keep just enough of your money that they don't tax away so you can get your toys, while they were siphoning it away to use it to do the nefarious things that we've been talking about, buying off your, like the feds came in to give money to the sheriff. Why didn't the people in the county say, no, 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 no. If the feds come in and give you money, then you're going to have allegiance to the feds instead of us in the county. The whole idea of the sheriff goes away. The whole idea that the sheriff is beholding to the people of his county goes away because there's a new god in town. There's a new master in town. It's the people signing that check, giving all that money and all that military equipment to the sheriff. Oh, he might say, I'm a constitutional sheriff. He might say, well, I'm here to do good and all this stuff. But if he's accepting federal handouts and federal money, who do you think he's loyal to? Same thing with the state. If the state comes in there and wants to do all that stuff, he's supposed to get everything he needs from the county. That's who he belongs to, the county. And I'll tell you the way it actually should run. The county sheriff should have just a small office with just a few deputies. That's all. So it wouldn't take much to support him. Because he's kind of like the ringleader for the militia. That's what he should be. It's we, the citizens, the armed white guys of the county, we're his muscle. That's the way it used to be in old England for the sheriff. That's the way it used to be in America. The sheriff would get a posse together. Go look it up. Posse comitatus, power of the county. The posse was his enforcement arm. But the posse also had another duty. The posse was to make sure the sheriff wasn't stepping outside of his proper authority. So typically the posse would be 12 men. Why do you think it was 12 men? How many men are in a jury? And I say men because the founding fathers expected the Christian armed white men of the militia to also be the men of the jury. Also the men that cast ballots for election. Same group of people. Okay? Why? Because they were the moral men of good character in the community. That's who you give that kind of authority to. Not these miscreants we've got in government and in police departments today. These people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, they just do whatever they're told. Most of them wouldn't deserve to be in that office if the founding fathers are around. Okay? So the sheriff, if we did it right, the sheriff would be a small office like the Andy Griffith Show, okay? Just Barney and Andy, that's it. If he needed muscle, he'd get the men of the county come together, the militia. He'd say, I've got a warrant here. We've got a bad guy, Farmer Joe, down here says he's not going to get vaccinated. And the men of the posse would look at him and go, Sheriff, Joe doesn't have to get vaccinated. Why are you going out there? Well, I've got a piece of paper from the governor. Well, Andy, let me set you straight on something here. The governor is not our lord and master, and you don't have a right to go make Farmer Joe, and we're not going to go out there and help you make him. In fact, we're going to ride out to Farmer Joe's house tonight, and we're going to stand guard. We're going to stand guard in case you try to pull something with another group of men and force that poison into him, his family or his arm. That's how it should work. The militia should be out there protecting us because the sheriffs aren't doing it. They've abrogated and just completely walked away from their duty to us as are the protectors of the people. But it could work under Yahweh's law and the old common law. Think about it. How beautiful that would be, a small sheriff's office, and you get the men of the militia to go out. Now, if Andy, the sheriff, comes down and says, I got a warrant here because we've got this Negro up the street that's selling drugs to our children, and he's raped a woman, and we have evidence that he may have murdered the little boy up the street. Now, the 12 men would get their rifles and ride on out there with the sheriff and become the muscle it takes to bring that guy in for trial. Okay, see how that works? Beautiful system. This system we got today, all they are is yes men and now yes women. Another terrible, terrible thing to do. Give women a uniform, a badge, and a weapon. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And you wonder why we're in trouble. Look how many of these states that are all effed up are run by women. Why are they in there? But here again, you fell for it. The feel-good bullshit that was handed to you. Well, you know, Dan, it's a diverse world, and we shouldn't be so pompous and so unfair that we think that we should run our own country. Well, yeah, Dan, the Jews run their own country. Oh, yeah, you got to be a Jew to be in Knesset. Well, yeah, you got to be a Chinaman to be in the Chinese government. Oh, well, yeah, you got to be a black to be in the Somali government. Well, yeah. Got to be a Russian to be in the Russian, it's jumped out of my head. I can't think of what it's not there. The point being, why in the hell we fell for it? Why did we fall for it? Okay, all you do is take a look around you in the world. Where else do people do that? Where do sovereign people give up the right that their own people run their own country, meaning white Christian men? Okay, where? Oh, Duma. Thank you, Curtis. The Russian Duma. Okay, so right there, you have common sense, and yet in America, you traded your common sense in for a party. You've been on a great big party. You come home and turn on that image controlled by the beast, that electronic toilet, and you sit there and you goggle at all the celebrities, and you goggle at all the talking heads, and you goggle at all the sports figures, and they're all on board, and they all sign contracts that they're entertainers. Did you know that? Professional sports players sign contracts that they are entertainers. Entertainers. Why do you think most of the commissioners are Jewish? Why do you think the Jews put so much money into sports? What did the protocol say? They would use sports to condition us for integration, to accept the diversity. This has been going on a long time, folks. Going on a long time. But here again, our Father gave us a platform. We've been talking to people. If they were paying attention, we gave warnings that you need to be putting some stuff away. We told you that you need to have weapons. I can't tell you how many calls I've gotten from friends and family and people saying, you know, can you help me find a weapon? What? We've been talking to you for how long? And now that it's in our faces, you're thinking you might have a weapon? I like the guys that tell me, some of the guys at work used to come up to me, well, Dan, I know what you're saying, but, you know, my wife, she doesn't like guns. What? Your wife doesn't like guns. I said, oh, let me see your man card, would you? Because I'm going to tear it up. I'm going to tear up your man card. Your decision about how you protect your loved ones, you decide that based on whether your wife likes it or not? You forget what the term wife is even talking about. I'm getting a lot of messages tonight. Oh, yeah, I just got a reminder. Dan from Georgia is going to start broadcasting again. And we may use the platform we have here for it, but I would be his co-host, and he will run the show. But it would be on free conference call. It'll be tomorrow night at 8 o'clock should be our first program. And the first program we're going to talk about current events, but after that we're going to go through Scripture. He wants to go through Scripture like he did years ago. So in case any of you new folks don't know, Dan from Georgia used to come on quite frequently. But he and I have been talking. He wants to get back in the saddle for this war and asked me if I'd co-host with him. So again, tomorrow night I'll send out an email on it. If you're not on my email list, let me know. Send me an email. Go to PastorDan.net. There's a contact page there. send me an email saying you want to be on the notification list. I'll be glad to put you there. Or just check the call schedule page, because I'll have a link to it there, the date and time and all that good stuff. So, now again, I don't mean to sound like a hard ass, but, you know, sometimes, and again, most of my audience this doesn't apply to, but sometimes I feel like I'm dealing with 12-year-old children. I really do. Even when I go to the American Legion, I'm appalled. I am appalled at the behavior of men and women who either were married to or served in the United States military. I'm appalled. I'm appalled about what they talk about. I'm appalled at their slovenly behavior. I'm appalled at the physical specimens that they have become. And most of them are just there to smoke and drink. What happened to our country? What happened? What happened to our military? What happened to our police officers? What happened to the people that go to the church thinking they're good people? Are you really good people? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you the people that think because you sit in that church, it makes you a good Christian? I got news for you. If you can go sit on a chair in your garage all night long and you're not going to be a car, that building is just a building. It's got nothing to do with who you are and what you are. I got news for you. You can get in there and say, praise the Lord, and listen to that pastor with his pontificating, syrupy, sweet sermons and everything else. But it doesn't make you a believer. I mean, haven't you read the scripture where he says to the people that said, well, Lord, in your name, we cast out demons, and we did this, and we prayed, and we gave out food at the soup kitchen, and, you know, we sang carols at Christmas time, even though Christmas is not a true believer's holiday anyway. That's pagan. Christ wasn't born in December. He was born at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in September or October. I mean, everything's upside down. So we got a lot of people think that they're in good stead with the Father. I got news for you. What's he say to those people? Depart from me. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. You say you're Christian. You say you're American. You say you're patriotic. You say you believe in the Constitution, but you don't live it. You don't show it. I don't see signs of that group of people anywhere in this country. And again, this slippery slope started in 1974. And I remember when that happened, because I was in the military. And I raised hell about it. But you know what? Nobody cared. I kept asking people, how is it that you can say it's okay to murder children? How can you do that? Nobody cared. Well, Dan, it's the law. It's the law? Well, yeah, you know, they passed the law. So God's law doesn't matter that a bunch of Jews got together in Washington and created a, quote, law, and so you're going to turn your back on the murdering of children. Is that it? Is that how that works? Like I said, I've been watching this for a long time. My head hurts, to be honest with you. My heart hurts. My head hurts. My conscience hurts. At times, I'm physically ill watching what's going on today and so little morality in the people. And look, folks, I'm not telling you that I can walk on water or that I'm a saint in the sense that I'm sinless. Nope, I'm like everybody else. I got things I'm embarrassed about. I got things that his blood has covered, and praise Yahweh, it's covered. I would hate to have to stand in front of him and be judged on some of the shit that I've done. But one thing's for certain, I never once tried to say it was okay to do it. I never once said that his law didn't matter. Not once. His law does matter. And the older I get, the more it matters. The more I watched my country go in the toilet, it mattered. The more I watched families being torn apart, it mattered. I can't tell you how many men I have talked to that their children are being turned against them by their ex-wives. I got news for you. In Yahweh's kingdom, this idea that a woman automatically gets custody of children, that's going to go in the toilet. That's going to go in the wastebasket. And I know a lot of people out there are going to say, well, Dan, there are some men that just don't deserve to raise their children. That's true, but you shouldn't have married them. And if men are like that, then you go to the elders of your community and the elders will go have a talk with that man. If he's not doing his duty to the family and the wife, the elders of the community will go talk to him, not government officials. Especially when your government's full of aliens and unrighteous individuals that don't believe in the Constitution or the Bible. All they believe in is doing what the person that signs their paycheck. That's all they believe in. How do you like being in a country where people run around in uniforms with badges and guns that don't have any loyalty to the country, the Constitution, or your Bible beliefs? How's that feel? What do you think they're loyal to? What do you think guides them? What do you think is their limit? In other words, what is it that the government can tell them to do that you think that they won't do? They have no moral guideline. They have no red line that they won't cross. They'll do whatever they're told. Now, interestingly enough, the day's going to come, it's going to cost them dearly for that decision. Oh, yeah. And I'm not talking about Yahweh's judgment. Oh, that's for certain. I'm talking about the fact that there's going to be pushback and it's going to turn to violence, violent pushback. You know, and it's kind of funny how Father works. When my son, my oldest son, was getting ready to graduate high school, he said, Dad, I want to be a police officer. I said, ooh, wait a minute. He said, yeah, I've already talked to him down at the college, the local state college, and I'm going to be a police officer. I said, well, let me talk to you for a minute here. I said, why do you want to be a police officer? He goes, I want to be a good police officer. I know a lot of police officers do bad things, but I want to be a good one. I said, son, that's admirable. I'm really glad about that. I said, however, let me tell you that we're headed for a day when the people finally get pissed at what's going on, because policemen are going to be part of the enforcement of this. There's a day coming when the people reach that level where they're not going to tolerate this anymore. They're going to look for people in uniform because they have turned against us. They're aiding and abetting the communist insurgency. I said, so do you think a mob of people that have had their rights trampled, their children victimized, their relatives thrown in jail, like we're doing now, we're putting preachers in jail and letting criminals out. That's pure communism. That's a Jewish Bolshevik thing. I said, when that day comes and these people are red with anger and they're looking for vengeance and they see you in uniform, do you think they're going to stop and ask if you're one of the good guys? I said, no, they're not. They're going to get their machetes out, their axes, their pitchforks, or their rifles, and you're not going to be standing when they're done. I said, so do me a favor and think about that real hard. I said, because I don't want to see anything happen to you. I understand your motives and they're honorable, but the day will come when they're going to look for vengeance on the people that brought this hell upon the earth. And they're not going to stop and ask, were you a good cop? So for years now, we've said it, you men and women in uniform, you got a tough decision. My heart goes out to you. It really does. Because I know you just want to do your job, you want to get your paycheck, you want to raise your family, but I hope you're witnessing the fact that these people don't plan on stopping this. This is a communist takeover. And if you think for one minute that they have any plans of allowing you and your family to not be part of what they're going to put down on everybody. You just need to read the history books of what they did to the Russians. Now you'll begin to understand why the Italians and the Germans in World War II fought so hard to win, especially against the Russians, the Red Russians. They tried to make peace with our Aryan kinsmen in France and England and the United States and Canada, but we wouldn't hear it. Okay? Rudolf Hess flew to England and they arrested him. He spent his life in prison. They didn't want him to come out and tell his story, much like they murdered General Patton. Somehow they got Douglas MacArthur to stay quiet. Okay? The Germans did not want war with us. There's a document, archived document, that said that when the German army in Luftwaffe was getting ready to massacre the British on the beaches of Dunkirk, it was orders from Berlin, Hitler himself, who said, "We will not murder our brethren." So all this stories by the Jew Hollywood and the authors and all that to tell you that Dunkirk was the resolve of the super righteous allies and the nasty Nazis and, oh my God, and we were on there, and the Herculean effort by the British to get all the ships to go over and get their boys. Let me tell you something. Not one damn soldier on Dunkirk would have got off that beach if the Germans hadn't pulled back. Not one effing soldier trapped on the beaches of Dunkirk would have lived. Not one ship from the British would have made it if the Germans had not relented. Okay, so get it out of your head, this whole nonsensical Hollywood version of things, all right? The facts of the matter are that the Germans showed mercy to the British soldiers. Much to their chagrin, by the way, because what did we do when we had a chance? Oh, that's right. We put millions of them behind barbed wire and starved them to death. That was Eisenhower and Marshall. Two kikes in Washington. Okay? So for showing mercy to their comrades, to their fellow Anglo-Saxon Israelites, we starved them to death at the end of the war. The war was already over. We starved them to death. We stood back and let the Red Army come in and rape and brutalize and murder the women of Germany. And there were Jews telling the Red soldiers to do that. That's the facts, okay? But you would rather go to church and listen to that piece of shit behind the pulpit teach you the doctrines of devils. You would rather sit up there and listen about what a heinous person Adolf Hitler was and what a great person the Jew-loving Winston Churchill was, the traitor, and the traitor Eisenhower, and the traitor Marshall. Okay? Yeah, that's what you would rather hear. Okay, you don't want to hear the facts. You don't want to care about it. It's just so much easier to go along. Because, you know, that's my neighbors, you know, my neighbors believe this way, and I kind of like my neighbors, I don't really want to change. Okay, don't tell me that, Dan, please, would you please? Got a couple good quotes here for you. Thomas Jefferson said, "One man with courage is a majority." I've lived most of my life that way. A lot of times I was the only one saying things. I didn't care because my father used to use that quote a lot. I didn't know it was Thomas Jefferson when he told me it. My dad's version of it is, "A man with convictions is a majority." But a man with convictions is showing courage. So pretty close to the same thing, right? There's an old adage that goes, if you want the people to respect the law, then make respectable laws. George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more they," meaning the society, "hate those who speak it." That's where we're at. Okay? And the worst offenders of that are in churches. Yeah. Churches are full of these hypocrites. They are the people that I can't wait to watch as Messiah looks at them and says, get away from me. I never knew you people. There isn't a shred of decency in this whole building. Oh, you like playing church. You like smiling while you're screwing your neighbor's wife. You like smiling when you're gossiping and sticking knives in half the other people in the congregation. Oh, yeah. I know. I was there. I grew up in the Methodist Church. I've been part of the Baptist Church, Lutheran Church, Presbyterian Church, Assemblies of God. I've tried them all. All the same. Oh, nice people? Again, yeah, when the camera's on. As soon as the camera goes off, then the gossiping starts, the immorality starts, the backbiting starts, the condemnation of their neighbors, etc., because they don't believe the same way they do. Unbelievable. Mark Twain said, the fear of death follows from the fear of life. A man who lives fully is prepared to die at any time. He also said, never tell the truth to people who are not worthy of it. You know what the sad part is? I have to agree with Mark Twain. It's a little bit like the scripture said, don't cast your pearls before swine, right? Isn't that what that's saying? Same thing. Don't cast your pearls of wisdom before swine. Why would the Bible say that? Doesn't the church say Jesus just loves everybody? Why would Christ and the writers of the gospel say, don't cast your pearls before swine? For the same reason Mark Twain said it. Because some people don't deserve it. They're not worthy of it. They don't want the truth. Mark Twain also said, loyalty to country, the country is you and me, folks, the people and our natural resources. Loyalty to country always. Loyalty to government when it deserves it. That's also a biblical principle. Romans 13, when properly translated, is telling you that you give your allegiance and obedience to godly government. Godly government. You don't give it to the ungodly. Just the opposite. But your preachers, your little lying prostitute whores, are telling you that you need to give them your loyalty. Really? T.S. Lewis said, in such a fearful world, we need a fearless church. Now, here the word church is not talking about the buildings. Okay? The word church here is from ecclesia. And the Greek word ecclesia meant the called out ones. That's the church. The church is not a building or an institution. It's a group of people that were called out. And the church is not fearless today. Mahatma Gandhi, or Mohandas Gandhi, said, a small body of determined spirits fired by an unquenchable faith in their mission can alter the course of history. Is that not biblical? Yeah, absolutely. Christ changed this world. He's just by himself with 12 disciples. Thanks a lot, Curtis. I appreciate that. Taylor Caldwell, who's a lady, by the way, from back in the early part of the 20th century. She wrote some pretty interesting books. I believe she was a true believer. But she said this in one of her books called The Devil's Advocate, Taylor Caldwell. What manner of men had lived in those days who had so eagerly surrendered their sovereignty for a lie and a delusion? Whoa! She must have been a prophetess. Why had they been so anxious to believe that the government could solve problems for them, which had been pridefully solved many times over by their fathers? Hello? Had their characters become so weak and debased, so craven and emasculated, that offers of government dole, now dole, D-O-L-E, is handouts. Offers of government dole had become more important than their liberty and their humanity. Had they not known that power delegated to the government becomes the club of tyrants? They must have known. They had their own history to remember in the history of 5,000 years. Yet, they had willingly and knowingly, with all this knowledge, declared themselves unfit to manage their own affairs, had placed their lives, which belonged to Yahweh God, only in the hands of sinister men who had long plotted to enslave them by wars, by directives, by emergencies. In the name of the American people have been made captive. Is that not prophetic? Again, the book she wrote was called The Devil's Advocate. I got a copy in PDF form if you want it, or you can order it from Amazon. She had another book called Captains and the Kings. This quote comes from that one. Republics never survive, for their people do not like freedom, but prefer to be led and guided and flattered and seduced into slavery by a benevolent or not so benevolent despot. They want to worship Caesar. So American republicanism will inevitably die and become a democracy, and then decline, as Aristotle said, into a despotism. Did Taylor Caldwell know it? In her book, Captains and the Kings, she has a short quote. Mankind adores its betrayers and murders its saviors. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. Did she nail us today or what? Mark Moore said, know thy enemy or perish in self-imposed ignorance. Mao Zedong, the communist, with Jewish backing, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. You see, that's why they want to disarm us. Let me point out something else in case you haven't thought about it, okay? This so-called virus thing, okay? We all know that's a joke. But why? Why the timing of it? Think about it. Why the timing of it? Okay? Because coronavirus is just a flu bug, okay? It's a variation of just standard old flu. So why? Why all this push? Why all this locking down? Why all this social... Folks, what was happening right before this started? What happened in Richmond, Virginia? Tens of thousands of primarily white men with weapons, remember, that's who they fear, had gathered in Richmond to show defiance to the tyrannical Democrat Jew governor there, Northam, and basically showed force. They were armed to the teeth, okay? So the Second Amendment movement was growing very, very strong. What better way to put that to it? You don't hear anything about any Second Amendment rallies, no rallies whatsoever. And again, men and women in uniform are aiding and abetting these communists. I'm going to tell you something. You men and women in uniform, you better hope your communist overlords win this war. Because if they don't, it'll be the militia that rounds you up for what you're doing today. You're committing treason. You're getting people hurt. You will pay a price for that. Now, if you win, you'll do that to us. We know that. No quarter given, no quarter asked. But if we win, there'll be hell to pay. The problem with you is that you're gambling that your communist overlords are going to win this fight. They might. They might. But I got some news for you. Your days of sleeping with one eye open won't end with our demise. Because you got to worry about what communists always do to the useless eaters that help them come to power. So your days don't look too pretty either way you go. Me personally, I wish I was a multi-trillionaire because I would pay all of the men and women in uniform that wish to abandon these communist pieces of shit, and I would personally support their families. I'm not going to say I'm going to let you live like a king, but I'd make sure you had a roof over your head and your family would be fed and you would be protected because I would supply the militia and I'd find the sheriffs that know how to be sheriffs and I'd make sure they're supported and that they would work with the local militia. That's what I would do. Because I know it's a tough decision because nobody's supporting the good guys anymore. Everybody gives support to the beast. And I would love to make your decision easier by offering you sanctuary, but Yahweh hasn't given me that power. So you have a tough decision. The good book in Proverbs tells us it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil. That's been my position my whole life. I could be harmed for what I do. I was warned 20 years ago when I started this show that harm could come to me because I'm doing what I'm doing. I said, well, that's true. But when I stand in front of my Father, I feel comfortable with what I'm doing. I would ask you folks, and especially you folks in uniform, and you folks down there at the Snoop agencies in Washington, how are you going to feel when you give an accounting in front of our Father? Not to mention an accounting in front of the people's courts when this revolution is over. Not going to be a lot of mercy there, I'll guarantee you that. If you take a stand against the communists, yeah, yeah, but not much mercy when you stay fighting for them and we win. For me, it's a simple matter. I just know where I'm going. I know who I'll stand in front of, and I will take my chances there. I don't really want people to approve of what I do. I really don't care if people approve what I do. I'm not here for a popularity contest. I'm here to simply tell you what the Father wants me to tell you. And I'm attempting to put a Bunsen burner under your ass and get you off your chairs, out of your pews, and in the streets where you belong. Especially you men. My dream, my prayer, my goal is to see a righteous army, an Ezekiel 37 army, arise from the ashes. Come out of that valley of dead and dry bones. That's a spiritual way of and a biblical way of talking about spiritually dead people, because most Americans are spiritual zombies. And out of that valley full of those dead old dry bones, that some real men would arise with some fight in them, with a spirit of righteous indignation in them, and let's go take care of business. We know who the enemy are. This show that's going on is identifying who our enemy is. They're on camera every day, identifying themselves for us. We know who they are. Some of our men are already figuring out where they live. All it takes is that righteous group of men that says, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough. They're going to attempt to kill me and my family, whether it's instantly or through injection or through disease or any of the other things Bill Gates and the rest of his satanic cohorts are trying to put together behind the scenes. Bill Gates is a monster, and that thing that he's married to, I don't think is a woman at all. Much like most of them, they're probably trannies. Perverts, misfits. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable where we've come to. It's, I don't know. It's just, I oh. See, we forgot what President Thomas Jefferson told us. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. We stopped. We stopped being vigilant because we were too busy having a good old time. We were enjoying all the little perks and the little toys that the Jews were putting out there for us. Robert Lefebvre said, government is a disease masquerading as its own cure. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Every night on the news, you can see that one. Thomas Jefferson said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for the people of good conscience to remain silent. We're witnessing it all, folks. Witnessing it all. All right. I'm getting tired. My throat's getting sore. Let me see if anybody's got anything they want to share. Okay, nobody does. All right. Like I said, tomorrow night I'll have to put up something on the website, and I'll try to get an email out about Dan from Georgia, and I should be on around 8 p.m. tomorrow. And then I'm hoping I'll also have a show Friday, probably the same time, 7:30. So for the folks that couldn't get in for whatever reason, I hope you'll go to the website. On the call page there, I have the instructions on how you join these calls. I would think by now it would be a pretty much set thing, but apparently some people are still having problems with it. So, and again, if you're not sure how this works, I'll set up a call. I can set up a call anytime to test it. If you're not sure how to get in and you want to test it, just let me know. I'll be glad to do it. Because, you know, the workers are few. The harvest is great. The workers are few. Okay, that harvest is growing every day. Coach Dave Davimir sounds more and more like a Biawi's design person every day. John Mark and Kurt Doolittle talking about same things that we talk about. Not completely, but a lot of it's showing up there. And a lot of other circles it's starting to show up. The very things that you and I have been talking about on these programs. Okay, so the word does not return to our Father void. That's what it says. And it's not, because we're telling the truth. We're telling the truth. It's a hard truth. And I'm sorry that it hurts, but it's what you need to hear, the hard truth. Because it's in your face, folks. You know, the soft heart that I have wishes I could take the pain away and make it easy for you, but Father doesn't want it to be that way. When it would have been easy for you to repent and change your ways, that time's past. So for the folks that didn't take advantage of it back then, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough, and it's going to be hard. For those of us who have known this truth for a long time, we've known this was coming. We've made preparations both spiritually and physically and mentally, by the way. So for the latecomers, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. So let me just check one more time here. Ralph says, I remember when you did a show all weekdays and Sunday, which was my church service. Yeah, amen. I remember that, Ralph. Yep, 5 days a week, and I think there might have been a Sunday show too, but I know we were on at least 5 days a week for a long time. We used to do shows with Bertrand Comparé's material, E. Raymond Capt, the biblical archaeologist, all teaching the history of our people and who we really are. Okay, ME262 says, I think I speak for all of us here. We love truth. The small audience that we have here and whatnot. Oh, you know what? I never opened up my Pastor BYD Pastor Dan at yahoo.com. one of our listeners keeps track of the numbers for me that I don't see, because I see the chat board here, but I don't see the ones who come in anonymously. That doesn't show up for me. Maybe if we had big budgets and everything, like some of these, like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh and some of these other Trojan horses out there. Trying to get it up here. Oh, okay, there it is. Oh, we got a pretty good size audience here. Pretty good size. We're getting close to over 100, so. And a lot of people say, well, that's not much. Well, again, I remind you, when Yeshua walked the earth, he had 12 men with him, okay? Changed the whole world. No internet, no cell phones, no electronics, no computers, no telephones. Just him and 12 guys, okay? Carried the truth to our people by foot, on foot. Sometimes in a boat, but most time on foot, okay? So don't tell me that we can't change the world. Don't tell me that we have to sit back like cucks and little soy boys. Guys, we were put here, Adam Kind was put here to be issuing orders to these degenerates around us, not sitting here because a bunch of Jews put their degeneracy on paper and that we have to follow it. That's bullshit. No, we don't. So, when the warriors decide we've had enough, please come knock on my door, would you guys? I hope I still got enough life left in me to go out there and fight with you. But until then, I guess we're just going to watch it keep melting away. But the warriors have to decide. We don't want this for our families. We don't want this for our people. We want the truth. We're willing to fight for it. Okay? When we make that decision, things will change. These misfits don't recognize talk. What they recognize is force. And you know damn well what I'm saying is true. Don't need Mao Zedong or some other piece of shit communist to tell us the truth. We know what the truth is. So, all right, again, tomorrow night at 8, I will put out something on the website about it, and I'll try to send out an email. And again, if you don't, if you're not on my email list, send me a note. I'll be glad to add you to it. And instructions on how to tell other people how to listen in if there's somebody interested. Again, you go to the call schedule page at my website, and at the bottom of the page is the instructions on how to join our calls. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. And we as a people repent, Father. I, for one, and I know our audience, our hearts are heavy. We have failed you in so many ways. It's almost beyond description. We can't get anything right. We can't protect the innocence of a baby. We can't get straight what sex is, what gender is. We can't get straight who the Jews are. We allow them to rule over us when they are nothing more than a hideous group of satanic individuals. International bankers, they use their international banking money to buy off our politicians, our media, our military, our police. And it's all digital. It's all digital money. They don't even have any real wealth. And we sold our soul as a people. We've sold our soul for fake digits in a computer because it'll buy a car or buy a house, at least until we become an enemy of the Jew. And then, of course, we know who the real owners are. And we've abandoned you. We've abandoned logic. We've abandoned our ancestors. We've abandoned our history, our culture. We no longer plead the blood of our Messiah. We no longer plead that Yahweh is our king and no other. Our founding fathers went to war with Britain to establish this land of North America here to the honor of Christ with a chant of no king but King Jesus. Now we've come, no king but king government. No king but the Jew that promises to give us toys if we behave and sell out our souls and sell out our families and sell out our neighbors. Do you see now, Father, we've actually got tyrants in government offering to give money to snitches. We got a nation of children. They behave just like children. I don't know how you can forgive us, Father. I do know that you can't lie, and you've told us that somehow a remnant will come through this, but boy, it's not that we can't come through it, Father. I just don't know why you want us to come through it. Why would you want to save any of us? We are a despicable lot. To have the knowledge we have now, to have been put on this earth with your authority and power and the power of truth and honesty and decency and what it can do, and to give it all up for a handout from a Jew, for the international bankers that can help you buy their damn car or something to placate us and to get us to sink into slavery. Ignorant of what has happened to our ancestors. Ignorant of the atrocities committed by these monsters. I just don't know why you want to save us. I really don't. We really don't deserve it. But praise Yahweh, it's not up to me. You can see in the hearts of men, and you apparently know that there's some out there that are capable of being true people, showing true humanity and decency and showing good character and strength of character. And because of that, I honor you, Father, that there will be a remnant that comes through this mess. I pray for your return, because then it'll be no more argument. I wish tonight you would come and take that throne, take that seat, put that crown upon your head and that scepter of iron and issue your orders to the remnant. And end this nightmare upon humanity. In the meantime, Father, we ask that you walk with us, guide us by your Holy Spirit. Put in us a spirit of strength and courage, and not a spirit of fear. Take away the fear of death. It comes for us all. It's part of life. It's what happens after that people should be worried about. Forgive us our sins, Father, as we plead the blood of Christ, who took upon his shoulders our burdens, our misery, our law-breaking, our sin, and loved us enough to tell us the truth and to walk as an example amongst us. You did that, Father, when you took on flesh. We honor that, and we ask again that you would walk with us, protect us from our enemies, and guide us by thy Holy Spirit to victory in these perilous, perilous days. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.